Mishnah Yomi, we are learning Maseches Brachos, and we are up to the third perek. Says the first Mishnah, Mi Shemesa Muto Lefanav, someone who's an Onain, someone who just lost one of the Zion Krovim, and it's before a burial, they lost a parent, a sibling, a child, a spouse. So rules, says the Mishnah, Pater Mikriyashma, they are exempt from saying Kriyashma, Minat Tfila, they're exempt from davening, Uminat Tfilin, and they're exempt from putting on a tfilin. So we're in this time where it's prior to burial, and they're exempt from performing these mitzvahs of Kriyashma, of davening, and of tfilin. Rashi explains on the Mishnah why are they exempt? So similar to a chasan, Lefishu Tarud B'machshavos Kruaso. Their mind is not at ease, their mind is focused on the upcoming burial, of making arrangements. And they're similar to a chasan who's thinking about performing biyah rishona, consummating the marriage. So the onen is exempt as well. Tosfos gives a different reason, because presumably Tosfos would be concerned about the issue that we saw in the previous Mishnah regarding Bizman Azeh. The Tosfos says nowadays none of us unfortunately have proper kavana when it comes to saying Kriya Shema, and therefore a Tosfos obligated the Chasan nowadays to say Kriya Shema. So perhaps one would argue, according to that, an Onay nowadays would have to say Kriya Shema. So Tosfos says, no, why is an Onay exempt from saying Kriya Shema? Based upon the Pasuk that we learned earlier regarding the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema for the mitzvah that's contained in the third paragraph of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lam Tizkor Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lam Tizkor Es Yom Tzitzcha Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, says Tosfos, Yomim She'ata Osek B'chayim, V'lo Yomim She'ata Osek B'mesim. Days that you're involved with life, that's when one is obligated to say the Kriya Shema, which includes the mitzvah of Zechiras Tzitzchias Mitzrayim. But when you're involved and you're Osek B'mesim, you're involved in taking care of the dead, so then one is exempt. So that's Tosfos' rationale, explaining the Mishnah, why the Onain is exempt from Kriya Shema, from Tefillah, from Davening Shmoneh Esrei, and from Tefillin. Not only is the Onain exempt from these mitzvos, but continues the Mishnah, Nosei Hamita, those who are the pallbearers, those who are carrying the casket, the coffin, V'chalufeyam, the various shifts, they would pass the casket from one group to the next to take the casket, take the coffin to the cemetery to be buried. So, esh lefnei amita v'esh l'achar amita. The Mishnah says, no matter where their position is, they're before the casket, they're after the casket. In the Mishnah that's recorded in the Gemara is a whole discussion about in terms of they already have a shift, not have the shift, they're going to have a shift again. The bottom line says, the Mishnah here in the Yochanan Boaz edition, Es shalomita tzorach b'hem paturim, ves shalain lomita tzorach b'hem chayavim. So there's two reasons why you may be there. You may be there because you actually are helping out to carry the casket. So if you are needed to carry the coffin, then you are exempt from saying Kriya Shema. You're osig in that mitzvah. You're involved in toiling that mitzvah. But if you're at the funeral just as an observer, you're there to offer comfort to the family, to give honor to the deceased, but you're not actually going to be carrying the casket, then you are obligated in these mitzvos. And then the Mishnah concludes, Eil b'tur minat tfila. But when it comes to actually Shmoneh Esrei, so everyone is exempt from Shmoneh Esrei, explains the Bar Tanura, either because the lav doraisahi kmo kriya shema, it's not as much of a chiyuv as shema's doraisa, davening is dirabanan, or the other possibility, we know the Rabbim holds that davening in general is actually a chiyuv doraisa, at least to daven once a day. But the Zmani Tfila are Dirabanan. So the Bar Tanura says another possibility. No, the reason why you're exempt from Shmoneh Esrei is because Shmoneh Esrei is long and it requires added Kavana. We saw that also earlier in the earlier Mishnayos that you need Kavana to be aware of the Omen Lefnei Hashem, according to Chaim Soloveitchik, You have to be aware that you're staying before God. It could be when it comes to Kriya Shema, you only need Kavana, the Gemara's whole discussion. The first paragraph, maybe only when you say Shema Yisrael, but Shemon Esrei requires a much more intense Kavana. And therefore, when one is involved in carrying the casket, they already carried the casket, they're at the funeral, so they can't have proper kavanah at that point, so they would be exempt from saying Shema. Says the next, the Mishnah, Kavruas Ameis, once they've now already completed the burial in the cemetery, Chazru, and now they're coming back, so they would make a shura, they would make lines where the avelim, where the mourners, would walk through and offer them the chama, offer them comfort. So if they there's enough time before that shura, those lines have to be formed, and it's time to say Kriya Shema, so then one must say Kriya Shema, they still have enough time. Vimlav lo yatchilo. But if they don't have time to say get the Kriya to complete the Shema, and again discussion, we're talking about the first parsha, just the Shema Yisrael, whatever the amount of time is, if they don't have enough time to complete the Shema, so then they're exempt from the Shema, and they form the Shura right away. Ha'omdim b'shura, but even those people that are in the Shura, so again it will depend how many people are actually at the funeral, how many people are standing in these rows. Because hapanim min peturim, those who are in the inside, who are going to actually engage in conversation, offer nechama, offer comfort to the mourners, so they are exempt because they'll be able, they have to offer nechama. But nechitzonim, if you're on the outer rows and you're not going to be able to offer nechama, so then chayavim, then while you're standing there, you are obligated, even as the mourners are passing through, you're obligated in the Shema. We'll do one more Mishnah. There's a lot of discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim Achronim on this Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing the issue of mitzvah saseh shazman grama, positive mitzvahs that are time bound. So the Mishnah says nashim vavodim uketanim peturim mikriya shema. So women and avodim talking about an evik nani and ketanim, they're exempt from shema uminat tefillin and from tefillin as well. Why are they exempt? So afal pishi mitzvah saseh shazman grama, says the Bar Tanur, even though it's a time-bound commandment, the chol mitzvah saseh shazman grama nashim peturim, so women are exempt, so seemingly this is pretty obvious. What's the Mishnah telling us? Saka daita chamina, and I might have thought the chayvan hova ispe machu shemayin, according to the Gemara, you may have thought the women are obligated, because maybe they're obligated to accept the yoke of heaven. So Kamash Malan teaches the Mishnah, Then technically they're exempt. They're exempt, time bound, and they are exempt. Avadim also are exempt in time bound commandments. What about ketanim? So ketanim is actually machlokas here between Rashi and Tosos. What type of katan are we referring to? Rashi says the katan that we're referring to that is exempt in this situation is afilo katan shegil achinach. Even if he's reached the age of chinach, he's still exempt from. He still is exempt from Kriya Shema. Why? Because the father is not always with him when it's time to say the Shema. The kid is out playing, the kid is at school, whatever the case may be. And therefore, even if he's Gil Achinach, he's reached the age of to be educated, nonetheless, he is exempt. Tosa disagrees. Tosa thinks if he's reached the age of Chinach, then he's obligated to say the Shema, perhaps even for Tefillin. Rather, the Mishnah according to Tosos is talking about a katan who has not yet reached the age of chinuch. Why are women and avadim, why are they exempt from tefillin? So here the reason that is given is because also perhaps it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama that tefillin is love, that the nighttime is not the zman, not the time for tefillin, and therefore it's a time-bound commandment, and therefore women as well as an evik kanani is exempt. Why is a katan exempt from tefillin? So here the reason that is given is because they're not able to properly guard their bodies. It requires a certain level of purity. The body should be naki, should be clean, and a katan cannot properly do that, and therefore the katan is exempt from tefillin. However, continues the Mishnah, the chayavin b'tfila, but certainly in the discussion whether children are obligated in Shemona Esrei, but certainly women and avadim are obligated in Shemona Esrei. Why? So the Gemara says because Shmona Esrei, after all, is all about rachamim. It's all about turning to Hashem for mercy and developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So midrabanan, they are obligated in to say Shmona Esrei. Similarly, mezuzah, they're all obligated to put up a mezuzah. Mezuzah is not a mitzvah saseh shazman gram. It's not time bound. And finally, with Berachas HaMazon, they're also obligated in Berachas HaMazon. Berachas HaMazon is also not time-bound. Whenever you eat, you have to bench. However, there is a big discussion in the Gemara. Is this Midaraisa or Midarabanan? Are women obligated biblically? After all, it says, V'chalta savata v'irachta. Anyone who's satiated has to bench. Or maybe women are exempt, perhaps because Al Aretz HaTova, the Pasuk says, only those who received a nachla, received an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Women did not receive an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe because we say in the benching, we talk about bris and Torah, and women are not obligated in bris mila. There's not an obligation in Talmud Torah. And so therefore the Gemara has a discussion whether this obligation for women in Berachas HaMazon is daraisa, or perhaps it's only dirabanan.